We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into episode number 2 of the Mason Brooks Show, brought to you by the Rogue 4450, I-55 North in Jackson, or therogue.com. All the best items from Martin Dingman, Peter Millar, True Grit, Duckhead, all the brands that you know and love. They've got them there at The Rogue. They can help you whether you are getting ready for a job interview, whether you just want to look good for your nightlife, whether you just are kind of retooling your wardrobe. They've got people there who can help you with all of those things and more at The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson, or therogue.com. Mason, it's been a minute. How you been?
I'm good. It has been a minute. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I've been looking forward to this. I told you I did a little research on you, so we're going to get to some things that I don't think the people know, and I feel guilty that I didn't know for the first one, but I did some work. I'm a reporter. All right, so I want to start with this, though, because Ole Miss just won a national championship in baseball. I know you haven't been at Ole Miss that long. Did you catch yourself getting into the whole baseball pursuit of a title? Were you keeping up at all? When did you start paying attention to this particular baseball team?
I mean, it was hard not to. I think the whole town was just on fire. And that's a testament to, I think, how excited everyone is in Oxford about the sports. No, it was dope. I mean, I was in Oxford. I left, actually, the day they won. So I was driving through Texas, listening to the game on the radio. I don't know which station I was on, but it was super exciting. And then when that went out, I put it on my phone and set it down next to me and just had the TV going, eyes on the road, of course.
Of course.
But how sick, from last four-in to last one standing. I think I saw that was on a news report. That's just so cool. Such a testament to those guys. I was not a big baseball guy. I really never have been. And I remember going to we had like a dinner, like the Rebel Choice Awards, something like that. And Tim Elko like cleaned house all the awards. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, how is this guy, taking awards away from football? I figured out who Tim Elko was. And those guys, coming back for their last year and doing what they did, I think it's a testament to the culture that's at Ole Miss, what made me want to come there. I've never been more excited watching baseball. And I've never thought of it as such an exciting sport, but going to, Funkies with the fans and my teammates were just sitting around. We sat around, watched game one, ate pizza, and we were just sitting there tweeting and laughing and having a ball watching them whoop up on Boomer Sooner. So it was great. Awesome.
Did you play much baseball as a little kid?
T-ball was about the end of my my stress. We did a little coach pitch. My parents liked me in anything that got me out of the house. So I was definitely usually preoccupied. But baseball and the patience that baseball takes were not a great combo for me. I like to, be entertained and right field and T-ball. Picking dandelions was not the most fun I've ever had. So
I pulled up my phone, not to be rude, but because I wanted to reference my notes. I understood that as a kid, your parents, Your parents had a similar approach to the way I think we tried to parent ours, like get them involved in a little bit of everything. People, I think you and I were talking about this about something completely different that we won't reference, but people stereotype bad. Like that is a common thing that people do. And they look at big football offensive linemen and they think all he does is football. He just does it. He lifts weights and he plays football. That's all he's ever done. And he's a meathead. And the truth is you're anything but that. Like you're in the school play, I understand. You're on the chess team at one point. You're on the fencing team at
one point. It's good research.
You kind of did a little bit of everything, and some of that was because your parents made you, but I'm guessing that you kind of found some things you really liked in the midst of all that, right?
Right. I mean, I think as a kid, I was very big and loud and had a lot of energy, and I kind of took on the persona at an early age as the center of attention guy, and I liked that a lot, and I liked competing against other people. I went to a smaller school up until high school, a private school with about 60 kids in my class and, you know, only a couple hundred in the whole school. So I think similar to smaller schools in Mississippi or whatever, where you have to play multi-sports. I didn't have to, but if there was something that I could do, I was involved in it. So I was on the chess team and I was in a history group that I was involved in where you had to build a model to get in. So I built the Coliseum, I think, or something like that. And I was in this, I took Latin, and they had this like Jeopardy buzzer Latin game called Cortamen, which is going to, I'm nerding you out here,
no,
but every awesome. Team on the, everyone had their respective, talents. So some people was like grammar, some people was mythology. I just answered questions. I was just happy to be there. I was on the C team. So, holding it down, but the guy who ran the Latin also coached fencing. So I picked that up. Once again, no technique there. I was just, bigger than the other kids, just beating them down. I was in the play, Romeo and Juliet. I got the big Romeo role. It was Turkish rendition of it, which was weird. So I did that. My crush, fun fact, my crush was Juliet. I was super excited about that casting. That was big for like seventh grade Mason. And there was a point in the play where I got to kiss her hand. And I guess I was supposed to kiss my thumb, on her hand. And I kissed her hand normal. And her friend was like, Mason just kissed her hand. And they were all like, ew. So that was a big heartbreak moment for me. So a lot of roller coasters. But yeah, no, if there was something to get me out of the house and something to get me tired when I came home. So my energy levels were lower. My parents had me in it, and I wanted to be in it. I did it all, really did it all, and enjoyed doing it all. So,
you still play chess?
On occasion, I do really like chess. I like stuff like that that challenges my mind. I think I've kind of shifted towards video games, but not like just shoot 'em up. I like the teams where we can strategize, and so I think I've kind of shifted my energy that direction. But anytime I can sit down and whoop some tail in chess, I'll take any challenges. So you got someone that's good at chess in my way. So
you like the video games where you get the headset on and you're talking to other people and all that stuff?
Oh yeah. So, Reese McIntyre gives, me German and Buckshot about as much crap as you can get. But, Bucky got me into this game called Rust, which is like, it's the game goes 24/7, whether you're on or not. And there's a day and a night cycle, and you essentially build up this base, and there's all kinds of architecture to it. And when you're not on, people can come in and steal from your base. So you try to build enough, walls and whatever. And so for like the second week in June, that's pretty much all me, German Bucky did until our base got robbed. We'll be back next month. Every month it resets. So, but yeah, no, definitely. Definitely big headset nerdy guy with that. So I love me something that gets my brain going and has me doing some fun stuff. So
my son's about to start his high school sophomore year, and so he plays FIFA and like I guess NBA 2K or whatever. And he's got
there you go.
And he's always talking to these people. I'm like, what the hell is he? We used to be like, what is he doing? Who's he talking to? And then we realized he's just talking to his friends playing his game. So I guess that's pretty normal. So I also heard that you collect Legos. Like, seriously collect Legos? Tell me.
Like, seriously, like, now that I'm in the SEC and, you know, have a little bit more wiggle room, a portion of that has gone to Legos. Yeah, I grew up a diehard Lego kid. I was a little spoiled with Legos because it was literally all I asked for. Christmas, birthdays, Easter, Valentine's Day, I was getting some sort of little Lego set. I had a whole room in the house that just became the Lego room. It was full of Legos. You know, kind of worked away from that as I got older. My dad wanted me to focus on sports a little bit more. So, but now, you know, now that I got some adult money and I can come back to that, I've ran the collection back up, and I probably buy, you know, a couple sets a month. For me, honestly, you know, last season especially, I kind of realized it's very relaxing. It's like doing a puzzle for me. Mm-hmm. I love sitting down and building. I love Star Wars, big nerd with that. So anytime the Star Wars stuff comes out, I'll, you know, sit there and build it. You know, in fall camp, last season I set aside 4 or 5 sets. And I built those, you know, when I had energy through camp. It's just something that I've always loved and I always nerd out on. And, you know, guys might get mad at me because, you know, I don't spend my money on the square. You know, I spend my money on, you know, Lego squares. So that's definitely my fun right there.
That's great. So you're a Star Wars person. What are your thoughts on the new Kenobi movie? I haven't seen it but I've heard a lot of people talk about it. Mostly people seem to have like very disparate reactions to it. They either love it or they absolutely despise it.
That's the Star Wars community. Like, they can give us anything, I feel like, and the fans will just pick it apart, or they'll just say, hey, we love it. You know, I was just happy to see Darth Vader, you know, on screen again. That's such a big, you know, child moment for me. I liked it, but some of my Star Wars friends that are like diehard guys, you know, hated it, and they like the true storyline. So you get a mixed bag there, but I enjoyed it. I'd recommend it. So
I'm going to get killed if I don't start asking some football questions. I'm coming back to some other things, but I will ask you about football, because otherwise the hardcore football people that are watching this will start losing their minds. I haven't talked to you. I guess I talked to you at one point during spring. You came and talked to the media and stuff, and it was one of those group sessions, but I haven't talked to you kind of in this form, kind of how your first spring at Ole Miss went, how you felt you guys gelled. I know a lot of offensive line guys were playing kind of new positions and moving around, and it was your first time as a group to play, and chemistry is really important for offensive lines and for offenses in general. And you guys were a couple of quarterbacks and a lot of receivers were down and new running backs. I mean, there was a lot going on. It was kind of like that scene in Bull Durham, you know, when Crash Davis goes out to the mound and the pitching coach finally comes out and goes, what's going on here? He's like, we're dealing with a lot of stuff, man. There was a lot of stuff going on for you guys. How did it go?
No, I thought it went well. I thought we ended in a good spot. You know, sometimes when you end a spring, there's a lot of question marks. It didn't feel like there were a lot of question marks. Obviously, there's some big looming question marks. You know, I think the quarterback battle is continuous. I don't see a clear cut, you know, champion coming out of the spring. I mean, I think Kincaid Dent showed a lot of people in that spring game that he's a talented quarterback as well.
Yeah.
You know, so really the revolving door there of who's going to perform in the fall, and jobs are won in the spring, but they're really won in fall camp. And sometimes maybe even through a couple games. So there's still a lot up in the air, I think, at the quarterback position.
Can I interrupt you there real quick? Because
Go ahead.
You came from a team that a year ago played with an NFL quarterback. I mean, he got drafted. I mean, he's going to go play in the league. How this isn't an indictment on Jackson or Luke or Kincaid or anything, but when you don't have the one guy established, as opposed to having the one guy who everybody walks into the locker room and goes, that's the quarterback. And you know, this is not a debate. That's the leader. How different is it?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think the guys at Ole Miss are used to that too. I mean, having Corral and having that same kind of, this is our guy. I think, to be honest with you, and I love Bailey, and Bailey was fantastic. Bailey wasn't totally ready at the end of the spring. And you can ask, I mean, I don't know when you'd ever sit down with Bailey, but Bailey was very disappointed with his spring game performance. And I think carry that into fall camp, this determination and this kind of, you know, will. And so in the sense of, you know, even your guy, the guy isn't always necessarily perfectly polished come season. And it might even, you know, be throughout season. I think, you know, being as old as I have and seeing a kind of revolving door of quarterbacks at my last school, I can give some advice to the other guys in terms of setting the pace. I think when you're used to the quarterback setting the pace of your offense, sometimes it's kind of difficult to shift gears. I feel like a lot of that and what we've talked about and kind of seen is going to fall on the offensive line, at least right now, just because I think it's the most senior group on the offense. You know, you got Mingo and you got, you know, bits and pieces there and that. But I think the real heart, you know, of the O right now in terms of like veteran leadership is going to be that offensive line. And so understanding that, hey, you know, we're the pace setters sometimes. It's not always going to fall in the queue, you know, like typically, and looking around at a practice that might not be your standard or going into the fall, you know, we have a Thursday that's not up to par, you know, looking around with these guys and saying, hey, you know, we need to pick it up. You know, there's more that we need to do, you know, that falling on a position group or a couple guys as opposed to, and I'm not saying that, I mean, those kids, I forget sometimes that Luke Altmyer and Jackson Dart, you know, and even Kincaid Dent, are so young. I mean, really, really, Luke and Dart. I mean,
they're 19.
I forget they're 18. You know, yeah. I'm 22. They're very mature, and so that's super helpful. But I do think that someone has to fill that leadership void of the pace setter. Otherwise, your team loses identity. Your offense loses identity, and then it's just kind of a scattered group. And so that, from what I've seen from playing, you know, 4 years of college football, you know, that's my biggest observation.
On the flip side, there's a ton of talent in the backfield. I mean, Zach Evans is, he's a guy. I mean, and Bentley does things. And I liked the freshman. I thought
Judkins.
I thought he did some really good things.
Like, hey, man, that boy's the truth. I'm telling you, Cantrell is good too. That's that's a four-headed snake you don't want to mess with. So the backfield is a real deal too.
I'm scared of one-headed snakes. The four-headed snake is terrifying. I don't want to think about that ever again. you go into the fall, though. Is there kind of a sense of a little bit of urgency that, hey, we're okay, but we got to get moving on this. We do have to find kind of have to find our identity, like you talked about. I mean, you know, it's, you get a month there in August, and then all of a sudden September's there, and it's Saturday, and it goes quick, as you well know, because you've done this for a while.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk a lot. Savage is really who we're working with right now with some, you know, PRPs. And Savage talks a lot about, you know, the talent is there. And obviously I'm jumping from, you know, a lower level per se, but I've been on some good, really, really good teams, well-coached teams. And this team's got plenty of talent. I mean, talent is not going to be an issue this season. But, you know, it really is about putting that talent into action. And I think as we go through fall camp, there is a sense of urgency. And if there's not a sense of urgency, it's usually not good, because that means that the guys are complacent and they're happy with where they're at. And you end up rolling into season and then you get punched in the mouth 1 week and you have to play catch up. And so the feeling that we have, I think, is a lot of guys are just ready to put the pads on and kind of get back rolling. I know, you know, speaking me personally, I can't wait. You know, I'm old and you know, I thought I would gruel maybe a little bit through spring ball and I didn't. I enjoyed every day of it and was so thankful to be, you know, where I'm at. And I feel the same way about the fall. You know, it's a big challenge ahead of me, but so excited. And I think that's how a lot of the, especially when, you know, you have a team with guys like Zach and guys coming in and then other guys that, like, you know, Jerm hasn't played left tackle ever and Broker's never played guard. A lot, I feel like there's a lot to prove. Same thing on the defensive side of the ball. You know, a lot of guys, you know, Tavius or Sed, you know, on the D-line, Pagese, some people that want to prove, you know, I'm a dog and we're dogs here at Ole Miss. I think that's kind of the vibe, you know, going into fall, which, I mean, you can't ask for much more. You know, I like when guys aren't, you know, half A in it and dragging feet. So.
Yeah, you know, we only saw a few practices we were allowed access on Saturdays. And what I did see was that, like, something you just referenced, I saw a defense that was really trying to establish an identity, that was really kind of trying to establish a chemistry, and it looked like it was kind of happening, sometimes at y'all's expense, and y'all weren't at 100%. But I know in the spring, you know, you're enemies, but you're also teammates. You know that come the fall, you guys are, you know, complementary pieces. What did you think of what you saw from the defense over the course of the spring?
You know, I was sitting in the hot tub talking to Tavius right before I left, you know, kind of about how he feels about the defense, the identity. And he said that, you know, the same thing, like the defense is hungry. And I think they're searching, you know, to be the heavy hitters, you know, from what he's told me and then I witnessed firsthand. I mean, I really think that that's true. I think that you have a lot of guys who have a lot to prove and are ready to prove it. And you saw it. I mean, you saw it on Saturdays and what y'all didn't see, you know, was the rest of the week. And what y'all won't see is all the fall and all the little, you know, work that goes into it. But I mean, those guys on defense, you know, the heart is there, you know, and I think, you know, when you have the hearts there, the talent that comes in the SEC is just self-explanatory. You know, I saw different pass rush moves from Sed than I saw from Tavius than I saw from Eiton and Grease and you know even the younger guys, Kyrie, the kid from TCU. There's such a diverse group of guys out there. You know, it's really got me excited that they can switch the rush up and switch the defensive front up, and things are still rolling and it doesn't feel like there's a big drop off. There's good depth and good age out there. I was thoroughly impressed, especially from what I had heard and mixed reviews. You know, I thought the defense was tone setting every day. I didn't really feel like they had too many dull days that we were able to kind of jump on them. It was a dogfight just about every spring practice. So,
what is a typical summer training day for you guys? Is it still up super early? And what's the kind of that schedule look like?
Yeah, so I'm in the earliest group. You know, so I get going about, you know, 6:30, 6:45, I'm getting up, working out at 7, you know, we'll do run. Right now we're in like a heavy lift phase. So a lot more heavier lifting and then a lot of plyometrics conditioning, you know, kind of to complement that. I think, you know, as we go into July, some of the more heavy conditioning, you know, the heat training starts to kind of speed up with you. You know, and in the afternoons we're meeting, you know, we're doing player run practices, we're taking kick sets. And honestly, you know, just speaking again from the O-line, I don't think I was part of a fantastic group last year. you know, well-motivated, self-motivated. And you know, when I came in this year, I was, there's a lot of young guys, you know, a lot of guys that don't maybe speak up a whole lot in this group. And I was a little bit like, you know, I'm so used to being the baby, you know, on an O-line, or even when I got older, I've always played next to a veteran. So I was a little confused on how to operate there. And this summer has been insane. Like 15, 18 offensive linemen staying after practice to do extra work, take extra kick sets. Guys, you know, the film room's crowded with dudes blessing film, like really motivated. And it's throughout the whole facility. And you know, you look at, okay, everyone's lifting in the morning, everyone's working out, but then you have, you know, that open block in your schedule that, you know, some guys got class, but there's a lot of dudes, you know, throwing, catching, you know, running, working on their pass rush moves, working on, you know, DB skills, watching film. There's a lot of self-motivation, which I think is good to see, you know, on a team when there's a lot of voluntold stuff going on. So
the Mason Brooks Show is also brought to you by Liston & Dees. It's a full-service law firm located in Ridgeland, Mississippi, focuses on complex civil litigation. Liston & Dees' clients include individuals, businesses, and state governments throughout the United States. I want to ask you about something else. I told you earlier before we got started, I kind of felt bad that I didn't ask you more about this on the first show. I you know, it was one of those, hey, we're doing this for the first time and all that stuff. This spring, I thought about you a couple of days after I'd kind of heard about this. We had a couple of those weather days. And, you know, when we first moved here, my family, that next spring, there was a pretty bad kind of a, they said it was straight line winds, but I heard it. It was a tornado that went through our neighborhood and it did a lot of damage. It didn't do anything to our house, but it did stuff to our neighbors and things like that. And when you were at Western Kentucky in Bowling Green, I think it was shortly kind of after you had decided that you were going to enter the transfer portal or whatnot. And there was a December tornado that went through there that impacted you personally. I think it dislocated you from where you
did,
were.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, can you take me through that night a little bit?
Yeah. So I'd entered the portal like 3 or 4 days before that. And I had a lot going on, you know, obviously getting recruited and, you know, getting ready to meet all these coaches flying up. And there was a late night, you know, a lot of my friends had gone out. There was recruits in town and they were trying to, you know, make sure those guys, you know, had a good time at the movies or whatever. And I stayed back at the house and, you know, my girlfriend at the time had come up to surprise me, which was actually really bad timing. you know, so we were hanging out and, got the alert on my phone, had never really dealt with a tornado before. Wasn't really worried about it. You know, my roommate downstairs was the backup center for us at the time. He called me, he said, "Hey man, I'd get in the bathtub if I were you." And we were sitting there, you know, deliberating, me and my girlfriend, do we want to go downstairs or do we want to stay up here? And we ran out of time. Cause like a train horn just rolling through, you know, we had about 3 seconds, jumped in the bathroom, kicked the door shut, and that passed over us, you know, ripped all the roofing off my apartment, blew out the windows, broke all the water pipes, a whole long night, you know, went and got my teammates from downstairs. My car was the only one in the lot that wasn't totaled, which was fantastic. You know, we all piled in there and the coaches came and got us, which was crazy because they were just so worried about us. You know, got us all put in hotels. It went right down that main road, and so all the players that lived in these two apartment complexes all got displaced. So I think there were 8 or 9 of us. You know, right, and then 24 hours later, I'm sitting in a hotel lobby with Lane Kiffin and Jake Thornton, you know, talking about going to Ole Miss, and you know, 4 days later, I'm playing in a bowl game. So it's just a whirlwind of stuff happening there.
So this spring, when there were a couple of those days, you know, where, because you know how it is down here, they'll start telling you like on Tuesday, hey, Thursday's got a chance to be really bad, and then you know, Wednesday you're watching to see where the Weather Channel guys go, like where's Jim Cantore going to be, and you're watching all that stuff, and it's kind of traumatizing. I mean, you know, the whole, our next door neighbor, you know, after the whole thing got done they built a tornado shelter, you know, in their garage. And you're like, do we need to go over there and get in the shelter with them? And we've done that a couple of times, because once you've been through one, you don't, you know, it's not like a hurricane where you've got all this time to board up and you can get out or whatever. A tornado is, you don't, so unpredictable. When we had those days, did you catch yourself kind of feeling a little antsy or?
Yeah, I think they tested the tornado sirens, which I didn't know. So that went off like one of the first weeks I was here. And I was like, all right, you got to be joking me. I was getting ready to duck and cover. So then I figured out that it was a test. I texted the guys. I said, are we okay? They're like, it's a test. But I remember there was a bad storm one of the weeks, and thunder struck right by our house. You know, I live right next to Jeremy, Altmeyer, Acker. We all live in the same, I mean, that's how Oxford is. It's all very close together. And it struck in the development valley. I guess it shook the whole house. And I woke up like cold sweats, like really like a, like very flashbacky, you know, like heavy breath. And there was heavy wind on the house. And I called my dad, I think the next morning or so, I can't remember who I called. And I just said, like, I hate storms. Like, this is something that I was never really worried about ever really put any thought to. And now every time I hear heavy wind, I was like, man, like, do I need to go duck and cover? I mean, it's a real thing. I mean, it's definitely, sure. You know, coming from Texas wasn't something I was concerned with. And now I think it will stick with me for the rest of my life. It's just scary. So no, it's definitely there. So
yeah, it's terrifying. It is. All right. We'll end with football. Do you count days down? Are you counting down days to like the first game you're going to put on an SEC uniform and all that stuff? Or are you more counting down to the first day of camp, or kind of how do you do that in your mind, the way you structure excited about the season?
I think, you know, in spirit, I'm counting down. I try not to physically count down anymore. I found, you know, you do this enough and you're waiting for season. And then you're halfway through season. You're like, man, like, I didn't enjoy the summer enough. Yeah. So I'm trying to, you know, soak up my time off and really, you know, after this season, you know, pre-draft training, you know, as long as I stay healthy and all this, you know, stuff ahead, I'm trying not to look too far ahead, but it's going to be a long year potentially. So I'm trying to enjoy this time, but I can't help, you know, when I watch film and I start, you know, thinking about this stuff, you know, how excited I am, you know, to suit up and be a Rebel and to run out of that tunnel and do the Grove walk and experience all this stuff and then go, you know, prove myself and do what I came here to do, which is, you know, help the Rebels win. So count on the days, maybe not, but excited is an understatement. I'm ecstatic to play here. So.
Yeah, because if it goes the way you want it to go and the way a lot of scouts think it's going to go, come August 1st or August 4th or whenever it is that you guys start, whatever the day is, from there until the draft, I mean, it's going to be sort of nonstop. I mean, it's going to be a whirlwind for you. So, yeah, this is your last few days. Not that you're eating bonbons and playing with your Legos and nothing else. I mean, you're but this is kind of your last time to relax a little bit before it gets super real.
It is. I think, you know, having a good football life balance is just like having a work life balance. I think it's important, and, you know, enjoying your downtime, especially as someone, I'm sure you're the same. You probably like to work and love what you do. And sometimes it's hard to step away, but it's good. And so trying to, like you said, enjoy that time away. And at the same time, not stare at the glaringly obvious, you know, season ahead of me. So it's a good balance.
Mason, it was a lot of fun as always. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Maybe we'll do this like right before camp gets rolling, because I know once camp gets rolling, you're going to be busy. So maybe we'll do it one more time, and then we'll figure out a schedule come football season. We'll do this each and every week during the 2022 football season. I think this is going to be a whole lot of fun. Mason's obviously a really fun guy to talk to. I think you guys are going to thoroughly enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to it as well. So enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll talk to you in about a month or so. Don't forget, this is brought to you by The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson, or therogue.com. Make sure that you stop in and tell them how much you appreciate them sponsoring this show, shows like this show. We just finished the Peyton Chatney show at the end of the baseball season. So we'll make sure you tell them you appreciate them sponsoring Peyton Show. And then now as we get started with the Mason Brooks Show as well. So Mason, until next time, appreciate it, bud.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you guys soon. For Mason Brooks, I'm Neil McCready. We'll be back a little later in the summer to visit with him. Until then, take care.